There were a lot of years when, quote, people would say, you're not ready for the enterprise. That discussion doesn't happen very much because we just kept after it. You know, search. We're going to just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming.
Okay.
We are irrepressible on this stuff.
We get it.
From
the Gartner Symposium and IT Expo at the Dolphin Hotel in Orlando, Florida, PodTech.net brings you a keynote interview with Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft Corporation, in conversation with David Smith and Yvonne Genovese, two vice presidents from IT research firm Gartner, Inc. In part two of the podcast, find out what Steve Ballmer thinks Microsoft will look like in 5 years and how he will guide his company toward that vision. You're listening to PodTech.net.
Let's talk about Dynamics, just a few minutes, because one of the things that we've seen is that Dynamics does have an opportunity to be that third competitor to what we're seeing as some pretty intense competition between SAP and Oracle. But one of the things that's a problem is it is multiple product lines that cross each other with multiple distribution channels that also cross each other. How do you solve that problem? Does Project Green ever happen?
Project Green, you've got to be kind of a little bit of an aficionado to know this word. It's the notion that says, should there be one code base on which we eventually integrate all the capabilities of some of the ERP systems that we've bought? We're taking a very different approach than Oracle. I mean, at least to the public eye, Oracle's walking around shooting their legacy and telling you to move to the new thing. We believe we have to give customers a path forward on the things that they've bought, but make no mistake about it, increasingly there'll be one way to do customizations, a code base that has all of the capabilities, et cetera. So we're trying to have our cake and eat it too. Oracle's trying to get rid of all the cakes but one, and SAP's trying to say, let's avoid having any new kind of cake and just keep driving down the road. And, you know, I hope we pick the right approach out of those three. So far, you know, so good. Now, we've been primarily targeted at the smaller enterprises and mid-market businesses, but, you know, we're growing our business, you know, 20%+ a year. We're adding new customers left and right in the market that we're targeting. We're absolutely building position because we have products that are fundamentally easier to implement and easier to use for anybody who's a small enterprise or a mid-market company. I would say we've got a better solution than either SAP or Oracle.
This space is pretty fascinating in a lot of ways. One is you've got companies like SAP that are application companies talking about platforms, and you've got you, a platform company, selling your applications as applications. Why don't you just sell them as platforms? Aren't you doing that anyway?
Well, everybody essentially has to be a little schizoid. Nobody wants to buy an application that can't be customized and extended. And nobody wants to buy a platform that is devoid of all application functionality. So it's just sort of a question of, you know, where your parentage is, whether you tend to start with one of those stories or the other. We've had a much more pure notion of the separation of platform and applications than Oracle and SAP have. I think that's brought a lot of value in terms of third-party extensibility. We're continuing down that path, and I think it's a long-term winning path. But, you know, there's a platform buried in every application. And as we know from Windows, there's some applications associated with every platform.
Let's move on to last area that we want to really probe into, and that's the future of the company. We had some questions on the video where people are asking, how is the company changing now with the transition plan announced with Bill Gates phasing himself out over the next couple of years and a new chief software architect, Ray Ozzie? What are we seeing different? What are we seeing the same at Microsoft?
Well, probably shouldn't just lapse into French, but I would say plus ça change, plus ça reste au même. The more things change, the more they stay the same. A little kid, I grew up in a French-speaking country, so I apologize for that. But the point is still the right point. There are basic core principles that have been at the backbone of Microsoft, and I don't think anybody ought to expect to see any change. What do I think those are? I'll reduce them to four. Number one, I think we're the only technology company that really has tried to invest in multiple, what I might call, individual separate cores. We've got an entertainment business and an online business and an enterprise business and a desktop business. Most of our erstwhile industry participants tend to specialize in one thing. So that notion of being expansive in our footprint and our portfolio, Bill was certainly instrumental to that. That isn't going to change. Number two, we recognize that software is an innovation business. You innovate or you go away. And you can talk about big innovation, little innovation, short cycle, long cycle. We remain incredibly committed. And frankly, that's probably the biggest change for me. I've got to not be the visionary, but I do have to be the champion of innovation at Microsoft, internally and externally. Number three, the live platform. We talked about that. In some senses, Ray's had that from basically the start. And so that isn't going to change. And last, but probably most importantly, Microsoft has been characterized, and we're proud of it, by a certain kind of a tenacity and persistence and long-term approach. We hope we get everything right up front. We hope we're first into every market. But even when we're not right up front or we're not first in the market, we just keep working and working and working and working and coming and coming. And, the bone doesn't fall out of our mouth easily. We just keep on it. Whether it's the length of time that it took us to get Windows to critical mass or, if I go back and think about when we first got into the networking business, there were a lot of years when, quote, people would say, you're not ready for the enterprise. That discussion doesn't happen very much because we just kept after it. Search, we're going to just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming.
Okay.
We are irrepressible on this stuff.
We get it. But that'll be on the internet
those
tomorrow.
Those are the four things that don't change.
There's a new video.
It'll probably
all in
be
itself.
On YouTube.
My copyrighted material should not be where I don't want it to be, Dave.
Oh, no.
It's a good question, though, whether Gartner owns the copyright on that or I do, and I think you do.
I think we probably do.
Oh, we'll make use of it.
I think we will.
So given what you just said about these multiple cores, where are the top three areas of growth for Microsoft over the next 5 years? Where are you going to see it come from?
This is a little bit of an unusual question. On an absolute dollar basis, it'll come out of the businesses which are already quite large. Our desktop business and our server and enterprise business in absolute dollars will probably generate the most growth. On a percentage basis, clearly the most growth will come out of the online and the entertainment cores.
So you just mentioned entertainment, media. How are you going to continue to compete with Google in the current market? I mean, they just bought YouTube last week. Is that going to be a problem for you?
Look, the number of places, people are very happy to distribute their content anywhere. And if you look at most of the content up at YouTube today, it is copyrighted material. For all of the discussion that says it's all about home videos, it's about, hey, I want to go watch the end of the Carly Fiorina interview on 60 Minutes. And the people who create content professionally are going to want that distributed everywhere. They'll want it distributed through Google. They'll want it distributed and found through us, through Yahoo. There's really no percentage in somebody who's got important material to not want to see it broadly distributed. In the entertainment space, we've got some very good things going. Xbox is not making money yet, but it's really in a fairly good market position. We've sold over 20 million media centers, which is a big, big deal. If you look at the way TV is going to move to the internet, the position we have with AT&T and Deutsche Telekom, we're clearly at the front end of that. We just launched Zune. It's got kind of an uphill battle, but that stick-to-itiveness might be useful in that regard.
Going.
And, of course, The way entertainment content gets distributed online is going to continue to change. The interactivity that people expect in the entertainment experience will change the very definition of what is entertainment content, as we've kind of seen in video games. So I consider pretty wide open spaces, so to speak.
You recently said that you were spending more time with advertisers than you were with enterprises these days. What does that really mean?
Well, advertisers, I mean, it turns out most of the companies in the audience not only run an IT shop, you run a marketing shop. And it is a mission critical issue at many companies that have a big marketing presence to really ask the question, how do we move from offline to online? I guess it was yesterday in the Financial Times, I read a piece that says, in Europe today, the amount of time people are spending online is now greater than the amount of time they spend reading newspapers and magazines. This is not lost on advertisers. And at the end of the day, many of us in the room understand that our businesses tend to focus in on growth as a top priority. And that means top line, how do you generate top line revenue, et cetera. And so I have spent a lot of time with marketing people and advertising people in the kinds of companies represented here, really talking about, you know, what's the role of search? What's the role of brand advertising? What does that stuff look like online? What do video ads look like? How do all of these things evolve for this important new medium where people are spending time?
We talked quite a bit there about multi-core, multi-business as your strategy. Yet there are synergies that you can have between those businesses, like in consumerization, as an example. And we see increasingly that you're running these businesses quite autonomously. Would we go to the next step of actually breaking the company up, or is there too much potential synergy?
I can't even tell you myself exactly what revenue or what expense I would charge to each core. They are not a SEC financial reporting Sarbanes-Oxley construct. You know, the truth is we use the same desktop infrastructure in the enterprise and in the online business. We have to make the same kind of modifications to our server platform to reflect software and service that we do out in the cloud. We use the same graphics system in the entertainment business that we do everywhere else. And of course, our enterprise customers, as I said, are very interested in the advertising opportunities that you see in online and entertainment. So to pretend that these things, you know, most of the people that we compete with are disaggregated. But I think part of the way we create value is by taking the unique approach in our industry of being multi-core, that is a value creator for our customers and hopefully for our shareholders.
So along those same lines, and back to the Google discussion, are you willing to cannibalize Office before somebody else does? Are you willing to put it out there for free?
The fact of the matter is, today there are free, what did the guy say, the last question?
He wants free.
He didn't say he wanted free. How do you compete with free? Was his question.
Mm-hmm. I talked to him yesterday. He wants free.
That's not what he said. If you wanted him to say it, it was your video. So let me respond to it directly.
Where is it?
We've been competing with free for the, nobody, I mean, look, if any of you want to send the guys who run your companies to see me, I will recommend to you that you think twice before you get into a business where you compete with free, okay? It's an unusual thing, but we've now been living really at least 3 or 4 years where our most significant competition has been, quote, free, unquote, whether it's Linux or OpenOffice or the like. And the truth of the matter is we've learned that customers care about total value, total benefit minus total cost. It's not about the cost of acquisition, it's about total cost, and it's not just about cost, it's also about the benefit that can be brought. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to be competing against open somethings for a long time. I mean, that's not going to go away. And that means we're going to have to push and push and push and push and push to add value. I know that took 5 extra seconds out of our time. I apologize. But, and we're going to have to push some more. But, coming back to the point.
Hey, it's your video.
Free itself is just an aspect. And the fact of the matter is, there are things out there free today that don't justify, quote, being free. We have created enough of a value proposition. And every day, and that same is going to be true for us, it's going to be true for a Yahoo, it's going to be true for a Google. You know, the fact of the matter is, we all will have revenue models as commercial companies around what we do, and we've tuned up already for that competition in some senses by competing with open source for the last, you know, number of years.
We've seen different ecosystem kind of models evolve in the industry. In fact, you've been associated with the PC ecosystem, which is known for being reasonably open. And now we have the web ecosystem, which is in some ways even more open. And you are exhibiting characteristics of that, opening up, doing more cross-platform work, but at the same time doing things very differently, like with your Zune player, going more towards the Apple closed ecosystem model. Is there a fundamental belief that one approach is better, or do we have to see multiples?
A really closed approach, I think, is generally not a good idea. But and Apple is, and I'm not giving them a hard time, I'm just saying because they've been successful, but it's largely a closed approach. Nobody else can build a store, nobody else can build a player. You can build peripherals, but you got to pay Apple quite a bit of money because the connectors are all patented, et cetera. On the other hand, what they've been able to do is achieve a good end-to-end experience for the user. A very open experience sometimes has a lot of chaos in it, whether it's some of the web experiences, some of the PC experiences. What we've learned through Xbox and what we are attempting with Zune is to have what I might call a more managed ecosystem, where third parties play, but there's more orchestration around the way they play. And I believe that that will be a valuable construct in some places, in some businesses. You know, not every random person cannot write an Xbox game. We have to wave a magic wand over it, and yet we've been able to create interesting experiences and value around that. So I think we will use appropriately in different businesses different of these various approaches to third-party extensibility.
Well, we're glad to hear that you're going to come back next year, because, and I don't have to ask you that, but I do want to ask you, as kind of our closing question, you know, we've discussed a lot today about how the industry is going to be different in 5 years, emphasis on software as a service, in your case, live. What would you tell us Microsoft is going to look like 5 years from now, and how are you going to get there?
Well, the number one thing I hope everybody will agree 5 years from now is that Microsoft is at the leading edge of defining the next generation of IT. The most important factors to getting there are, number one, having great people. We just came off our best talent year ever. Very good retention of key talent. We brought in amazing people. People had been SVPs at significant companies in our industry, brilliant engineers. We had our best college recruiting season of all time. And if we get that talent pool, and we enable them even a little bit, we're going to continue to be a company that's right out there on the leading edge. That's one. Second, we really have to drive quickly on this software plus service and live platform. That is a defining, shaping, transformative event. And we sit here 5 years ago from now, rather, not 5 years ago, 5 years from now, you know, we will all agree Microsoft has been at the front edge of redefining software to be software and service, not on the back edge. And there's really only a couple guys who are trying to do that at the end of the day. There's us, and there's some guys who are not really enterprise players today, like Google and Yahoo. I mean, to be fair, we're seeing less of that coming from the more traditional enterprise competitors that we have. And if we do all of that, my guess is we'll sit here and talk about the fact that we've had a pretty good run again. The last 5 years, we've about doubled our profits. No projections, no forward-looking statements, but we'd sit here and say, we had another pretty good run financially, and our customers would sit here and say they're not free, but what a wonderful value they represent.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks very much. We'll see you next year.
Thank you.
Thank you.